Good morning. I chose Emmanuel from Matthew 1:23, where it says, "The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us," which I think is the name of Jesus that really changes things for us. I thought this was just a great thing. Lynn came to me a few weeks ago and asked if we could do something with this in service, and I appreciate, if I start naming people, I don't know if I'll try. Dustin and Branson and Tyler and Nathan and who am I forgetting? There were five. Dustin, Branson, Nathan, Tyler. Was it only four? Okay. There was another that was not here, so it's all good. And then Lily's going to be helping out with cookies and all that stuff later in the back. We just appreciate the work that they have put in, the time they've put in learning more about Jesus. And just reminding us of how important he is and how many different roles that he fills in our lives. A few things before we get started, actually mainly one thing before we get started, to remind you one more time about our upcoming youth rally coming up this week. And so things around the building are going to start getting crazy in the next few days with setup going on and t-shirts coming in and all that kind of stuff. We have more registered at this point this year than we did last year. So we don't know if that means that people are finally getting ahead of the game or if we're going to have more people than we usually do. So one of those two things will be happening, and we're excited about that. It's been an exciting time leading up to this. And if there are ways that you are helping out, thank you ahead of time. If you are interested in housing guys in your home, and I know I've gotten up here a couple times and kind of sold the sad side of having guys in your home for a weekend. It actually can be a blessing. And I know guys tend to be a little more messy and disorganized and all those things, but they're also a lot of fun. And as we saw this morning, I think they can be encouraging. And so if you have been on the fence about that and thought, well, everything he's saying about guys doesn't sound all that good. I say that because I am one and I can say those things. But if you want to think about that and talk to Denise, I'm sure that we could gladly use your home. And the beauty of it is we get them to you at about 10 o'clock tired, and we take them away from you at about 8 o'clock well-rested, hopefully, for the next day. So there's not just a ton of entertaining you have to do or anything like that. It's just a place to sleep and enjoy that time and refresh a little bit. So that's coming up. If there are other ways that you're volunteering to help out, we appreciate you and glad you're doing that. And one last time, I will mention that if you are 18 or over and you're helping out with the rally, be sure to get your background check stuff in order because we're trying to get all those done too. So if you don't know about that, talk to me, Denise, or somebody that can point you in the right direction. All right. If you want to open to Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2. I thought since we were talking about the names of Jesus today that we'd go outside of James for a week and look at what is one of my favorite points in Scripture that has to do with the name of Jesus here in Philippians chapter 2. Now, you may wonder what goes into a name. And for each of us, it is a different kind of thing. I know families where it is everybody's name starts with the same letter. And maybe your family is one of those. I know families where everybody has a fairly unique name and they're all spelled in a way you have never seen it spelled before. And so you know these children are doomed to a lifetime of saying, no, it's spelled like this. I've known families that have had big giant names and short names. I've known families that don't have a lot of meaning behind the names. For me, I'm Brian, if you don't know me. I am Brian for a couple of reasons. In 1973, when I was to be born, my mother was looking for a name that was not incredibly popular, but a name that was fairly normal and traditional. And so at the time, a couple of the names she liked were on 1972's list of the most popular names for boys. And so she knocked those out immediately because she didn't want me to be one of 15 Christophers in class or something like that. And so her number one reason was a name that not everyone else is going to have. Her number two reason was she wanted a name that no one could give a nickname to. And there's not really a shortening of Brian that makes any sense, so these two things converged to give me the name Brian. Now, the funny thing is, when the 1973 list of baby names came out, top three, Brian, right in there. So plan number one is thwarted. I got to middle school, the age of these guys who are up here, and somebody said to me one day, Louie. and it stuck because my last name is Lewis. And so throughout school, I was Louie. And the nickname caught, and she gave me a name with no nickname, and unfortunately, my last name caught one. And so everything that she had planned with my name did not happen. For our boys, these are David and Nathan up here. David is next to David Miller, who baptized me when I was an eighth grader. And from the time that I thought I would have kids somewhere down the road, I always knew I wanted to name my first son David. Interestingly enough, my wife's grandfather, who is probably the greatest male influence in her life, Dave Orta. And from the time she knew she was going to have kids somewhere down the road, she knew that her first son would be David. And we both were doing that for different reasons, but it all converged into David, who is sick this morning and not here, so I can show his picture and embarrass him. David has meaning behind his name. Nathan is named after Nathan, who is my best friend growing up, who also happens to be David Miller's son, and has a lot to do with me being a Christian today. And so our kids have meaning behind their names. There is something there. And when you look through Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, but even in the New as we get into there, you will find names, and so many times after that name, you will find an explanation of what that name means. There is some meaning to the name of a town, to the name of a person, something that happened there, something that that name means. Nathan, by the way, the historical meaning of it is gift of God. And so there's a meaning not only to the name as far as how we picked it, but a meaning to the name as far as what the name itself means. And when we look this morning at the name of Jesus, we will see a name that is unlike any name that has come before it. In Philippians chapter 2, beginning verse 1, it says, "Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion." And I see all these ifs, and I think to myself, is Paul being sarcastic with us here or what? Because these are really not if questions, are they? If we are people that have a relationship with God, these are all things that are just part of it. There's not a if you have these things. And honestly, I think if we look at our relationship with God and these are ifs to us, maybe it's time to take a look in the mirror of our relationship with God and figure out what's missing here. Because these are things that should just be part of it. If we have encouragement from being united with Christ, I think of Carl's announcement this morning about the one who was in the car wreck who got to go home, and the fact that because of this unity that we have in Christ, she has been prayed for. I think of the Throwers who are halfway across the country right now, but unified with us in the loss of someone who's close to them. I think of each of us as we go through things. I think of a table full of Valentines back there that are for people that are unified with us, part of this body. And then more than that, any comfort from his love. Do you not find comfort in the body of Christ? When things are going badly for you, when things are rough, do you not find comfort here? More than that, common sharing in the Spirit, tenderness and compassion. And I like to think that if we're doing this right, this is how we should be described. This is who we are. This is what a life with Christ looks like. So Paul says, if you have all of these things, and I almost wonder if as Paul is writing this, if maybe a piece of Paul is thinking, since you have all of these things, since this is part of who we are, part of what we do, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one spirit and one mind. So since we have all these things, since part of who we are is to have this encouragement, this love, this positive experience about being in the body of Christ, then let's start to be people of one heart, one mind. So what does that look like? I don't know. Because a lot of times when I see churches described, this is not the description I see. Too many times it's the disagreements that go on. Too many times it's the frustrations among us. Too many times it's the strong personalities that clash, all of those things. And Paul instead calls us to be of one mind. Because if we are of one mind, then we begin to accomplish a lot more. I was watching a basketball game yesterday. Coach, about 3 minutes in, didn't like a few of the calls he had already seen, and absolutely came unglued. And it's this guy who's making millions of dollars a year. He's got his nice suit on, and he is livid. And he's yelling at a referee, and the referee is kind of walking away from him. And he keeps following. And there's this picture that I'm watching of 19 and 20-year-old kids holding the coach back as he's screaming at the referee, and he's trying to get away from these 19 and 20-year-old kids he's given scholarships to. And finally, the referee throws him out of the game, and as he's walking off the court, his shirt is untucked, he's all disheveled and everything. And I thought, 3 minutes in, he gets a day off now. He gets to just go home and or go sit in the locker room, I guess, and watch the rest of the game. And it was a game that the team probably shouldn't have won. They were a lower-ranked team. And then they all got together with the assistant coach, who I don't think was planning on this happening that day, and figured out what they were going to do from there. And what you saw for the rest of the game was people of one mind. Now, I wonder sometimes when I see coaches do that if they're doing it on purpose, especially in a game like that you're supposed to lose and you really have nothing to lose. If you're just, you're so scheming in your mind that you think, I'm going to really go after this right now. And all these kids get together, and while the coach is being carted off, all these kids get together in a huddle, and they're talking, and I have no idea what they're talking about, but then they go out for the next 37 minutes that's left of the game and play a game like they have not played all season. Scored more points than they've scored in any game this season against a much better team than they usually face, and won the game by almost 20 points. And I watched all of this, and I thought, for whatever reason, they are of one mind. And I thought to myself about this morning, what could we accomplish if we are of one mind? Now, I'm not going to go on a tirade and have people pull me out the door this morning and then you gather and figure it all out. But what if we were of one mind? What if we understood the bigger picture of what it is we're here to do? What if we understood that if there's an impact to be made on this community, it's up to us? What if we understood that if there is a difference to be made in the world for Christ, it's up to us? What if we understood, I went in the middle school class this morning, and Lynn was reminding the class of it's Valentine's Day, and you know, hearts and glitter and candy and all that stuff. St. Valentine was martyred, by the way. I almost put, there's a meme going around online about all of the things that happened to him and how we celebrate with chocolate and cards. We forget sometimes how easy it is to say the name of Jesus in our world. Even though it doesn't seem like it, it seems like things are stacked against us sometimes. In reality, we're pretty free to talk about it, but we don't. And so Paul reminds us here that we need to be of one mind. And then he continues. And I think this is how he begins to describe what it looks like to be of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Now, notice, word choice here is everything. And believe me, I get together with a group of guys on Tuesdays. We drink coffee and we read Greek. We are Greek nerds or something like that. The New Testament originally written in Greek. We started to do James a few weeks ago, and we realized about every third word, we're turning to the back trying to figure out what that word is. There's a lot of vocabulary out there. Paul could choose any words he wants here. And the words he chooses, I think, are very important. The words the Spirit puts on him to write are very important. Because first of all, it's do nothing out of selfish ambition, vain conceit. Nothing. Now, if I get to a point where the scale is leveled a little bit towards positive here, I'm feeling pretty good. If just 48% of what I do is selfishness and 52% is not, I feel like I've conquered the world sometimes. But he says, no, nothing. Because you look at Jesus, what does he do that is out of selfish ambition or vain conceit? And the answer to that question is nothing. So it calls us first here to do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Now, I don't know where you place yourself on the level of importance. Probably depends a little bit on who you're around. But I think for most of us, if we are going to get gut-level honest with each other, we run into people during the course of the day that we just start out assuming they're lower on the society rankings than I am. And sometimes we start to treat people in that way. And Paul says, no. Don't treat people in a way that shows that you value yourself more than them. Flip that thing around. In humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. How many of us, as we decide things to do, people to be with, weigh out what's in it for us? And again, I don't think consciously we do this a lot, but subconsciously, it's there. Subconsciously, there are times where the right thing to do is to go spend some time with somebody else, but you have had a week, and you need to not be bothered with people right now. And yet there's someone who needs you. Now, can we swing that to the other extent and just completely overextend ourselves? Sure. Sure we can. But too many times we miss opportunities because we are thinking, what's in this for me? How do I gain from this? In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Now, interesting to me that usually when we start talking about how to be Christ-like, we're talking about sins that we're not supposed to do. We're talking about some sort of grand project that we're supposed to be a part of. We're talking about something huge and giant. And instead, Paul says here, in your relationships with each other. So that matters? Is that what he's trying to tell us here? It matters how we treat one another. It matters how we interact. And man, Scripture comes back to that over and over again. It matters how we interact with each other, which is a little bit frightening when you think about it, because we don't always interact well, do we? We get frustrated with each other. We get short of patience with each other. Think of the person sitting next to you this morning, especially if it's family and you showed up with those folks. Had any short-tempered moments with them in the last week? No, I have. At our house, we call it bedtime. And I am short-tempered pretty much every night around that time because it just gets under my skin. Or at my house, it's the car line at school. And I pick the kids up and I say, do you have any homework? And they say, no. And then I know better. And I pull off into a parking spot. I pull out my little handy app that the school has. And I say, okay, what about this? Oh, yeah, that. And so I sit in my parking spot, and they go back in, and they get the stuff they should have brought with them in the first place, and they come back out. And I sit there, and I get very impatient with my own family. Then I got to deal with you guys. And sometimes I get impatient with you. And occasionally, for some crazy reason, you get impatient with me. And what we hear here is we've got to be careful how we deal with each other. How we deal with each other matters. So in our relationships with each other, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God. Okay, if we leave with nothing else about the name of Jesus this morning, it is not our name, and we are not in our very nature God. Now, we act like it sometimes, and we try to make the rules sometimes, and we try to make sure everybody bows to our needs sometimes, but that is not our spot in creation. Our spot is to honor that God, not to be that God. So who being a very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Or if you have a different version, you might have something to be grasped. If we had equality with God this morning, the thought of not using that to our own advantage, I don't know about you, but I'd like to use that. I'd like to know exactly what each of you is thinking right now. How long is this going to go? Getting hungry, stomach's growling. The middle schooler's already made the point. Let's just get on out of here. Or maybe thinking about the thing that you couldn't let go as you got here this morning, the struggle that you're having with somebody else. Or maybe thinking about who knows what. And you probably would like to know what I'm thinking sometimes, although I'll probably tell you most of it before we're done. I would like sometimes to be able to say something and have everyone be in agreement. I heard a joke one time about elders. I can tell jokes about elders because we have good ones. I heard a joke about elders. They were all heading to lunch in one of the elders' Hondas. And one of the elders who was in there said, this is the first time I've ever seen an entire group of elders in one accord. What if we all agreed all the time? We were of one mind where he sets this thing. I'm sorry, that's a horrible joke. what if we agreed all the time we're of one mind and we put our own needs aside for those of other people, and then we don't consider the equality with God, whether you look at that as the power or the ability or just the being above everything, as something to be held on to, but as something to be let go of. You set that power aside. Did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing. Made himself nothing. We have our youth rally coming up on Friday. I reached out to several of the Church of Christ colleges around the country and said, hey, we'll have a bunch of great teenagers here for the weekend. If you have anything you'd like to send our way that I can share with them, whether it be a t-shirt that I can give away or information about your school or whatever it is, send it. I got a couple boxes so far. And when you go into, I've got an Abilene Christian box on my desk right now. If you go into their view book or their catalog and start looking, you will not find the major of nothing. No one sets out to be nothing. Set out to be something, somebody important, some kind of big deal. And Jesus goes from being the biggest deal of deals to making himself nothing. And if he is going to do that, then why do we spend so much time making sure people know how important I am? Why is that such a big deal? And whatever line of work you're in, whatever your family is like, whatever your neighborhood is like, most of us have moments of this somewhere along the way. Pepperdine Lectureship is coming up in May. 3,000 Christians will descend on that campus and look at the beauty of the mountains and the beach all at the same time. Once again, they have not invited me to speak. I don't know why. I don't know who I have to know. I don't know. And I want to be a big deal with my picture on that thing. And it will probably never happen. And that's okay. I don't know what the big deal thing is in your life. But Paul here, through the Spirit, would tell us, let go of that. Because what we have watched our Savior do is, let go of that. He's not going to hang on to that for dear life. He instead is going to give dear life for us. Taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself in becoming obedient to death, by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So first of all, he shows up as a man. And if you are God and you could show up on earth as a man, would you be the one described in Isaiah 53 where there's nothing unusual about him, nothing that draws people to him? I would be the best looking guy with the whitest, straightest teeth and cut and all of that stuff. That's the way I would show up on earth. And instead, he shows up as just a guy here on earth. And even more than that, as an infant, where he is dependent on people to care for him for years and years and to raise him until he becomes the man that we know as Jesus in his ministry. He becomes that man, and then he becomes obedient to death, and not easy death. We talk in our country about cruel and unusual punishment. Does not get much more cruel and unusual than the crucifixion. And that is what he signed up for from the beginning. You'll talk about a God that is not grasping on to equality with God, and instead coming here to earth and doing something amazing for us. That's why these names matter. Because who he is so much more than just another man who's walked the earth. Therefore, so because he does all this, because we have all this togetherness about us, because we have the same mind, because Jesus comes, makes himself nothing, obeys to death, because of all of this, God is going to exalt him to a higher place, to the highest place. And gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There are a lot of people walking around our world today that do not believe Jesus is who he says he is. And if we are to believe the words of Paul here in Philippians chapter 2, there's going to come a day where each of us is going to acknowledge exactly who he is. That is the God that we serve. That is his son who came here for us. And every time I read Philippians 2, and it's probably my favorite part of Scripture, every time I read it, I am blown away by every aspect of it. I'm blown away by the fact of where we started, that there are folks that live the Christian life that do not feel this encouragement, that do not feel this sameness of mind. And I want to go fix that. I want to show them that it does exist. And I want to show them that sameness of mind was never intended to mean everyone agrees with me. If you go look at the bulletin board out in the hallway there, I will not let church be about my desires and preferences. Hard sometimes, but that's what it is. There are folks that go through all of Christian life not getting that. Then there are folks that go through all of Christian life and don't really come across as all that humble. It scares me to death because I don't want to be that person. And I would imagine as I run into those people, they don't realize they're that person either. And he calls us to a humility that is making ourselves nothing. It's putting everyone above us. It's a tough calling to come to. And then more than that, it's the knowledge that he is going to die for us. And for us, there's a pretty good chance that we go through all of life not having to die for this. But at the same time, if things started to move in that direction, what would we do? I think the first thing we'd find out is who's really serious about this. Because when it's not just a chair that you come sit in, a tray that you may or may not put something in, when it could be life or death, then you start to realize who is really, really serious about this. And when we look at the example of Jesus, he set all that aside. And why? You. You sitting there this morning are important enough to him that he went through all of this plan so that you could live with him for eternity. And that's good news. That is the name that is above all names. That is the Savior. That is all the names hanging from the ceiling in the classroom this morning if you get up there. He is all things to us, and a lot of things we probably never even considered. So this morning, if you look at the Jesus that these guys described this morning and you think, well, that's a Jesus I want to know. That's the real Jesus. If you look at the Jesus of the word I picked, Emmanuel, God with us. He wants to be with us. He wants us to be with him. And if you are not with him this morning, he would like nothing better. He doesn't care about being your Valentine. He doesn't care about you being his Valentine. He wants you to be his for eternity. And so this morning, if you would like to have the best Valentine's Day ever, that doesn't involve flowers or chocolate, but instead involves water and being baptized into him, what a great way to remember this day. Or this morning, if you look at your life and you think, man, all that encouragement and comfort that he talks about in the beginning of chapter 2, I wish I had that. That's why we're here. People haven't come here to listen to me talk. People haven't come here because there's nothing else to do this morning. We are here because we are family, and we encourage each other, and we have compassion for each other, and we are trying our best to walk through this together. And if you want to be a part of that family, we welcome you. And if you, as a part of that family, have something that we can be praying about, whether it's someone near you that is dealing with something hard or sickness or illness or loss or whatever it might be, whatever need you may have, if there's something that we can help you with this morning, please come as we stand and sing.